Luke chapter number 2. But going to kind of not really preach about Jesus being born, but we're going to kind of come from there, if you will. And kind of, I guess you might say, end up that direction a little bit this morning. Luke chapter number 2 this morning. But before I get started, I'm getting ahead of myself this morning. Been a lot going on. David, can you help me, son?
Oh, sure.
Okay. All right. This is just a little something from us to y'all. And give one to each family, okay?
Okay.
Thank you, David.
Mm-hmm. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Amen.
To everyone.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Some of y'all may be able to enjoy that part of this, but not the other part. Amen. Thank you. Huh?
It's not fruitcake.
No, no fruitcake. I don't think. Kelly actually did this.
Thank you, David.
And I think David might have helped her to put the legwork in it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, David. We do love and appreciate all y'all this morning. Amen. And I don't want to get on this today, but I want to say one thing. I appreciate everybody being here this morning. That's here. Because I was thinking, you know, today it's harder to get people together come Christmas time. Amen. And anytime. Let me just say it that way. And the older you get, it gets even harder to work things out to get together, seems like, right? And because you get scattered and different things and all that stuff, y'all know what I'm talking about. So I just leave it at that. But I thought about, I think that's kind of spills over into the church at different times. It's hard to get everybody together. Amen. Because I think a lot of times on Sundays, and I don't know if y'all are like me, but I think, boy, if we just had everybody there this Sunday, we could have had, you know, this and that. And you think about those types of things, and no doubt you think about kind of similar thing at your family thing a lot of times. Boy, if so-and-so would have just been here, then everybody would have been here. And all that type of thing. And you kind of take turns from one day or one year to the next. One person's here and none's not. And this one is and that one ain't. And you know what I'm talking about, all those things. But I thought about to myself, I said, you know, it's sad that people can't take of all the days and all the times of the year to set aside and say, I'm going to be at church this Sunday, the Sunday before Christmas. Mm-hmm. You know? And I think a lot of people's doing a lot of things, but it's sad you can't set aside that one day. You got all year long, you know when it's coming, you can't mark it off on the calendar and say, I'm going to be at church that day. Same thing when it comes to Easter, amen? Just those couple days of the year at least. It used to be we talked about the Christmas, the Easter, Christians, and you know, and special occasions, amen? But now it's the hardly ever, you know? But the Christmas and the Easter ain't even as harder to do. But thank everybody that's here this morning. Amen for being here and all of that. And I know the Lord will bless you for it. And I thank the Lord for it this morning. Luke chapter 2. We're going to kind of read together the Christmas story this morning, if you will. The Christmas account that we're all familiar with. We're going to read the first 20 verses here in Luke chapter number 2. The Bible says, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. We know what all that means, right? She was pregnant, amen? About time to be delivered. Verse 6, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And all you ladies say amen. You know when you got there, amen? And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. I lost my spot, y'all. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you this morning for everything that you've done. Thank you for your many blessings, dear Lord, and thank you for allowing us to be in your house this morning. Dear Lord, to worship you, to praise you on this special Sunday, as every Sunday is, dear Lord. But especially today, dear Lord, the Sunday before Christmas, the day we've set aside to remember your birth. And dear Father, I pray this morning as we look, dear Lord, into your word for what you have for us this morning, what you've laid on my heart. I pray that you'd help us this morning to listen, to be attentive, dear Lord, to set aside from our minds and hearts all the things that the busyness of this time of year that we've had going on and will have going on in the days to come. And help us, dear Lord, this morning to truly focus, dear Lord, on what this day's about and focus on you. And I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Give us what we need, dear Lord, that we might serve you better. And if there's one here that's lost, that, dear Lord, today before they leave this place, they might come to know the Christ of Christmas. Help us today, I pray. Thank you ahead of time for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, we read the first 20 verses here in Luke, and you're familiar with the verses, and that's why I lost my spot. I was quoting in one spot, amen, along the way, and then lost the spot. And some of y'all probably have them half memorized like me, amen. And you're pretty familiar just from reading them and things down through the years. I've never sat down and said I'm going to memorize all these verses, but just kind of down through the years, you kind of got them, amen. But you think about the fact this morning, there's a lot we could talk about concerning Christmas. A lot of things. I said that last week. I say it again. And, you know, this time of year we celebrate, we've set aside to celebrate, as we said last week, the star of Christmas. Amen. And we all remember who the star of Christmas was last week, we said, and that was Santa Claus. Amen. No. Right? No.
It's the star.
It's the what?
That's the world
star. Okay, amen. We said the Santa Claus, the star of Christmas was the little kids. Amen? No? No, we said the star of Christmas was who?
Jesus.
The Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the star of Christmas, and that's what this day is about, and that's what we celebrate. Amen. And you think about this a Christmas account, if you will, of what took place long ago. And I want to say that in our Bibles, we have an accurate and complete account of exactly what took place, amen, on that first Christmas. Now, Christmas was not December the 25th, amen. It was probably a whole different season, different time of year. They tell us historically that Jesus was born. This is just the day we've set aside to remember, amen, His birth. And so keep that in mind. But you think about the fact that we've got an exact, if you will, recording from history long ago of what took place on the Lord's birth. And I thought about that was kind of interesting to me, because you think about even a lot of our history books nowadays have been tampered with on a lot of different subjects. Amen. A lot of things have been cut out, left out intentionally on purpose for various reasons. And a lot of history has been rewritten and rewritten incorrectly. Amen. To try to make it look like or to lean toward one's point of view. And that's sad to see. A lot of kids are being taught history incorrectly about a lot of things. I think about one example, the Civil War. Amen. But that's just to name one. But there's a whole lot of other things we could talk about too. But you think about just that this morning. I'm glad to know that in our Bibles we have a correct history, amen, more correct than a lot of the textbooks is what I'm trying to say even, a history of what happened the night the Lord Jesus Christ was born. A history of the days leading up to the event and what took place with Mary and the angels appearing and all those things that we could go into and some of them that we read about just a while ago. But you think about today, Jesus is the star of Christmas. I took and I put down on the offertory table this morning a kind of a picture, and that's not, I know, an exact picture or even a good replica, but just to put in our minds somewhat an example of the manger scene, amen, and what most think it was like that night, although we know it wasn't quite like that. We talked about the wise men and all those things last week, but I put that down there just for one example and one thing this morning, really more than anything else, and that was, you think about this scene that we have before us this morning, which we don't have the wise men in this one, as you notice, but all that aside, but you think about this picture and this example with Mary, with Joseph, amen, some of the animals around them, and then in the center is the star, amen, of Christmas, as we said last week, the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. You think about, what's a manger scene without the Lord Jesus Christ, amen? What's a manger scene without the baby? It's not a scene of anything, right? That's what it's all about, is Him. But you know, when you think about Christmas, we see scenes similar to this all the time, don't we? Even some people have taken, and I would like to have one maybe someday, maybe some of you do or have in the past, to have a nativity scene out in your yard. And sometimes, of course, we know it used to be in public places, government places, they used to put these out, something like that. Now it's a big deal, of course, in a lot of places it's been a big fight because of that. But all that aside, but you think about this scene right here that we have in our minds when we come to Christmas is something like that, isn't it? But when you think about this scene, when you think about this picture, I think some people this morning get kind of mixed up about this scene a lot. I think to some people the only thing they think or see when they think about the Lord Jesus Christ is this right here. Yeah. This right here. The baby in the manger. May I say this morning, the title of the message is simply this, if you will, He is. He is. But you might add this on there if you would like to as well. We're going to talk simply for a few minutes this morning. I really don't plan on being long. Now we'll see how that goes. But He is, but yet there's also some things that He's not. Amen? He is, but there's also some things that He's not. Because you think about this morning, this scene before us right here, a lot of people, the first thing we're going to talk about this morning is some things that He is not. The Lord Jesus Christ is not some things this morning. You say, what do you mean? The first two things I'm going to give you this morning that He is not, He was at one point, okay? But He is not still today. But some people only see the Lord Jesus Christ in this way, even today, all these thousands of years later. You say, what do you mean? Simply this, that some people today, they only see the Lord Jesus Christ as that babe in a manger. May I say this morning, He is not still a baby in a manger. Amen? He's not still a baby in a manger. You can have this scene up to remind you what happened that night, and that's fine, and I'm not knocking it at all. Amen? That's good, that's great, that's fine. But realize, as I think many people don't, that He is not still a baby in a manger. Amen. He's not a baby in a manger this morning any longer. Some people, that's the way they picture Jesus. That's the only way they ever think of Jesus. They don't think about the fact of what took place after this night, of how the Bible tells us all the things about His life, right, that He did, all the miracles He performed. You think about, a lot of people don't think about that. The only time the world thinks about Jesus is when it's like this. You see, today, folks, He is not the baby in the manger still. He didn't stay this way forever, amen? And He's not still that way today, if you will. He grew up just like you and I did physically, if you will, amen? He was fully God but fully man, as we've said a couple times here recently. He grew just like us physically, just like a normal child, a normal baby would be born, and it won't be long, and what happens? They ain't a baby anymore. Amen. Where did my baby go to? Amen. Then you calling a 30-year-old your baby. Amen. Or 20-year-old or whatever. Or 60-year-old your baby. Amen. Amen, Miss Betty. Amen. Then you call it a 50-year-old, you baby, amen, and all that type of stuff. But you think about the fact, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not preaching against that, but I'm just simply saying that he's not the baby in the manger, amen, today still. But many people, that's the only way they picture him, as that meek, that lowly little baby, newborn there in the manger. But he grew physically just like me and you. Luke 2:52 is one of the verses that tells us that. In Luke 2:52, the Bible says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." Amen. You see, today simply the Lord Jesus Christ grew just like a normal man physically. Amen. In stature, wisdom, favor with God and man. He grew just like you and I did, amen, in our lives. Some people believe today that Jesus grew up to be just a good man, amen. And they'll say, "Oh yeah, well of course he grew up, duh, you know, everybody grows up." But they believe he grew up just to be a good man. No, the Lord Jesus Christ grew up to be more than that, amen. And may I say, he was more than that when he was laying there in that manger still, amen. You think about the fact that today, he didn't grow up just to be a good man. He is not this morning just a mere good man. Amen. He's not the babe in the manger. He's not just a mere good man this morning that did live in history long ago. And you say, "Oh, well, he was a great leader," or those types. No, he was not just that. Amen. Yes, he was, but he was not just that this morning. Some today only see the Lord Jesus Christ in this way that's portrayed in this picture before you this morning. But yet, is that really this morning, I ask you, who the Lord Jesus Christ is? Is that really who he is? Just the babe in the manger? I submit to you, no. He's not just the babe in the manger this morning. But the second thing he's not, a lot of people, and I'm not criticizing you if you have this at home on your wall, okay? That's up to you. But I'm simply saying this morning, another way that people picture the Lord all the time, but he is not the babe in the manger, but he's also not, if you will, a body on a cross. He's not a body on a cross. Some people today take and they have pictures, if you will, on their walls at home, or they may have a necklace around them that has the cross, and I'm not against that part, but they have the Christ on the cross still on their necklace, or the Christ on the cross still in their earrings, or the Christ on the cross on the wall. And I understand remembering him on the cross. We ought to do that. We're going to do that tonight, amen, through the Lord's Supper. But may I say today, that's the only way some people picture and remember the Lord Jesus Christ. May I say today, he is not still there on that cross. Amen. His body is not there anymore. He did more than just that. Amen. He is not a body still on a cross, or if you will, a crucifix. Amen. That's not what the Lord Jesus Christ is still today. They still have him hanging on the cross, and they wear that around their neck, or all these types of other things. Today, may I say, he's risen forevermore. Amen. He is not just, he is not just a baby in a manger. He is not just a body on a cross this morning. He is more than that. Amen. He's the risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask you this morning, is that really all that he is? A babe in a manger. Is that really all that he is? Is he still that body on that cross? But the third thing today that some people think that the Lord Jesus Christ is not only a baby in a manger or a body on a cross, but some people think he's just a big story. He's a big old story. You say, what do you mean? A hoax, a fairy tale, a fable. They think that's the biggest story, that's the biggest lie that's ever been told. There's some people that believe that. You think about today how sad. Some don't even believe that Christ came, that he was ever born. They believe it's a hoax, it's made up. You think about how sad that is today. They say that's just a fairy tale like Jack and the Beanstalk. Amen. That's a fairy tale like The Little Mermaid or any other type of TV show, you know, Happily Ever After, Cinderella, whatever. May I say today, we've got an accurate account of what took place. Amen. And it was a real event in history. Amen. It was more real than anything else. You think about the fact today, some people, he is not just a big story, a fairy tale, a fable this morning, if you will. There's more evidence in history outside of the Bible even that we could talk about that proves the fact through the things that he did and that he was born, amen, just as he said, and the things that he did do, you can see even outside of this Bible that they took place, amen, that there was a man named the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ, amen, that He did exist and He did do a lot of these miracles and these things. You can take and go over to Israel and boy, you can see all kinds of stuff, amen. You can see what He did. This is not a big story and not a big fairy tale this morning. It's not something made up. It's a place in history, amen. It is His story, amen. You think about today the fact that you say, but give me proof this morning, Pastor. May I say, just start at Genesis and read to Revelation, amen. I ain't got time to go into everything this morning. You would be here and it would be a long sermon, amen. But simply, may I hold up the evidence this morning that it is not a fairy tale, amen. It is not a hoax. It is not a big story. This Word of God is true this morning. Jesus Christ came on that first Christmas, amen. He was the baby in the manger. He did grow up in favor and stature with God and man. He did take and live that 33 and a half years of perfect sinless life. He did take and die on that cross. Yes, His body was there. He was placed in that borrowed tomb, but He's not there any longer, amen. He's in heaven seated with God the Father. You think about the fact today, some people only see Jesus as these ways. But is Jesus really just a baby in a manger? I say no. Is He this morning really just a body on a cross? No. Is He this morning just a big old fairy tale or made up fairy tale type story, fable? May I say no. If He's not those things, then who is Jesus this morning? We've seen what He is not. Now this morning, let's see just for a minute what He is. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter number 4. John chapter number 4. There's lots of things we could talk about this morning concerning who the Lord is. And even more things that we could talk about that He is not. I just picked a few the Lord laid on my heart that I think some of the more prominent things that people say that's false, and some of the things that are correct that the Lord put in my mind for this point. John 4 and verse 42. Here Jesus had talked with the woman at the well. Some of the ones that she went to town brought that came with her to meet Jesus, to hear from Him. They believed His word in verse 41 of John 4. But notice verse 42. And said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard Him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the what? Savior of the world. Amen. In other words, who is He this morning? Who is this baby in this manger that was born long ago, although He's not in the manger anymore? Who is He? May I say, that night the baby that was in that manger was the Savior of the world. Amen. He was the Savior of the world. You say, who is this baby in the manger? The Lord Jesus Christ. He was the Savior of the world today. Amen. He simply came, as John 3:16 says, that we talked about this morning in Sunday school. Amen. He was sent by His Father to die on that cross out of His love for us so that our sin debt might be paid for, so that we might be saved, so that we might have a home in heaven. He came and He was wrapped in that swaddling clothes, that first Christmas gift, wrapped. And all you and I can do, all you and I need to do, and I think about the words that song Kelly sung, the words that stick out to me the most in that chorus is where it says, I was the taker and He was the giver.
Amen.
And I think about my life a lot of times, and that's the way it is. I'm the taker. I take this, God gives me that. I take this, I take that. Because He's given me everything that I might go free. You think about today, thank the Lord, amen, that He took and that He's given us so much. He's the Savior of the world. But not only that, in John chapter number 1 and verse number 29, there's a second thing that He is. John 1 and verse number 29, it says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, John the Baptist here, and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. May I say, He's the Savior of the world, but He's also the sin forgiver of the world. Amen. He's the one that'll forgive the sins of the whole world if they'll but come to Him. Amen. You think about today, He's the sin forgiver. If a person will just call to Him, as the Bible says in the book of Romans, admitting they're a sinner, placing their belief and faith and trust in Him alone, asking Him to save them, He'll save them, and He will save them, and He will forgive their sin this morning. He's the sin forgiver. He's the Savior this morning. You think about, and I thought this was very interesting. How many has ever heard the song? The Lord reminded me of this here about Him forgiving our sins. I couldn't help but think about the song, Born to Die on Calvary. All of us heard that song. Boy, I'm telling you, Google that song. That's one of the songs. It is hard to find. It's hard, very hard to find. Very hard. I was amazed as I tried to find that song. Man, I thought that was a common thing. It's very hard to find that song when you Google it and try to look it up. You can find a little bit, but all these other versions and things, but it's very hard to find that song. I'm glad He was born to die on Calvary so that you and I might live, as the song says. And that's another good Christmas song, by the way, that I usually don't think of as a Christmas song. He was born to die on Calvary so that you and I might live. You think about the fact today, He's the sin forgiver. But in 2 Corinthians, there's the third thing that the Lord Jesus Christ is. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. 2 Corinthians 3. He is the Savior of the world. He is the sin forgiver. But the third thing is found in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse number 1. 2 Corinthians 3, 1. We'll read a couple verses here. It says, "Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men." Boy, there's a lot of good things in this. "For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward." Notice this verse. "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves." We're nothing. Amen. Shouldn't think nothing of ourselves. But notice the last verse. "But our sufficiency is of" who? God. May I say the third thing that He is this morning is He is our sufficiency. He is sufficient this morning to meet every need that you and I have. I like what one of the first names I see used in the Bible for God, other than God and Lord and that type of thing, that's used in the Old Testament is when, I believe it was when the Lord was there talking to Moses. And Moses, the Lord was telling him that he wanted to go back down to Egypt, right? And he was to go say to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." And one of the excuses that Moses made in there is he made the comment, he talked about his speech, we know that. But then he made this comment, they're going to say, "Who's God sent me? What God are you talking about," basically. And he said, "You tell them I am that I am." Amen. In other words, I can meet every need. Amen. I am everything. I am the all in all. Amen. You think about this morning, He is sufficient. Amen. And I couldn't help but think about this picture that we have this time of year of the baby in the manger. Realize that night, the one's birth that we're celebrating that was born, the one that is there in that manger scene long ago but didn't stay that way, He is the Savior of the world, that little baby. He is the sin forgiver of the world. But realize that He is sufficient to meet every need that you and I have. The thing I found so amazing, and I guess you might use the big word paradox, at least for me it's a big word, amen, about this scene with this truth, is you think about a baby. Can they do really anything at all whatsoever for themselves? They can't do a thing, could they? When the Lord Jesus Christ was born, He couldn't take and change His diaper. Amen. For the sake, when Jesus Christ was born, He couldn't feed Himself. Amen. You think about the things that a baby does when they're first born. They can't take care of themselves. They are sufficient to meet how many of their needs? Basically none. Somebody has to take care of that little baby when it's born because they have no sufficiency at all whatsoever to take care of themselves. But do you realize that night when the Lord Jesus Christ was born, amen, He couldn't change His diaper yet. He couldn't eat yet because He was physical man just like any other baby that's ever been born. But do you realize in that manger lay all sufficiency? Yeah. Think about that. When I thought about that a little bit this week, I said, that's amazing. To think that there in that manger lay the one that was sufficient to meet every single need that you and I would ever have. You think about the fact today, He is all sufficient, this baby in the manger. He's sufficient to meet every need we'd ever have. As the Bible tells us over in 2 Corinthians 12:9, it says in part of the verse, His grace is sufficient for us. Amen. You think about the fact today that His grace is sufficient for me and you. He's everything, as the song says. He's all that we need this morning. Amen. He is not just a baby in a manger. He's not just a body on a cross. He's not just a big storyteller fable. He's not that at all. Amen. Instead, He is the Savior of the world. He is the sin forgiver. And He is sufficient. There's a lot of songs that I thought of this morning as I was studying what the Lord had laid on my heart. And one of the songs says something like this in it. It says, it's not just about the manger where the baby lay, like the picture. It's not all about the angels who came on that day. It's not all about the shepherds or the bright and shining star. It's not all about the wise men who traveled from afar. The last verse of the song says this, the beginning of the story is wonderful and great, but it's the ending that can save you, and that's why we celebrate. The chorus says, it's all about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about God's love nailed to a tree. It's about every drop of blood that flowed from Him when it should have been me. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. It's all about the cross. You see, that's why He was born, to die on Calvary. You think about today, I'm glad that on the pages of this King James Bible, that's our evidence and has everything correct in it. In this book, on every page and every line, we see who He is this morning. There's a song that I want to read to you the words to this morning, and the title of the song is He Is. I believe it's another Christmas song. It's what the Lord used to lead me to this message this morning. Because I believe there's a lot of things the world thinks He is that He's not those things, and we name just a few. But may I say, this book tells us who He is this morning. In Genesis, He's the breath of life. In Exodus, the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, He's our high priest. In Numbers, He's the fire by night. In Deuteronomy, He's Moses' voice. In Joshua, He's salvation's choice. In Judges, the lawgiver. In Ruth, the kinsman redeemer. 1 and 2 Samuel, our trusted prophet. In Kings and Chronicles, He's sovereign. In Ezra, true and faithful scribe. In Nehemiah, He's the rebuilder of broken walls and lives. In Esther, He's Mordecai's courage. In Job, the timeless redeemer. In Psalms, He is our Lord and song. In Proverbs, wisdom's cry. In Ecclesiastes, the time and season. In Song of Solomon, He's the lover. In Isaiah, He's the Prince of Peace. In Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. In Lamentations, the cry for Israel. In Ezekiel, He's called from sin. In Daniel, the stranger in the fire. In Hosea, He's forever faithful. In Joel, He's the Spirit's power. In Amos, the arms that carry us. In Obadiah, He's the Lord, our Savior. In Jonah, He's the great missionary. In Micah, the promise of peace. In Nahum, He's our strength and our shield. In Habakkuk and Zephaniah, He is pleading for revival. In Haggai, He restores a lost heretic. In Zechariah, our fountain. In Malachi, He's the Son of Righteousness, rising with healing in His wings. This little baby in the manger, this is who He is. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, He's God, man, Messiah. In the book of Acts, He's the fire from heaven. In Romans, He's the grace of God. In Corinthians, the power of love. In Galatians, He is freedom from the curse of sin. In Ephesians, our glorious treasure. In Philippians, our servant's heart. In Colossians, He is the godly Trinity. In Thessalonians, our coming King. In Timothy, Titus, and Philemon, He's our mediator and our faithful pastor. In Hebrews, the everlasting courage. In James, the one who heals the sick. In 1 and 2 Peter, He's our great shepherd. In John and in Jude, He's the lover coming for His bride. And in Revelation, He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. The Prince of Peace, the Son of Man, the Lamb of God, the Great I Am. He is Alpha and Omega, our God and our Savior. He's Jesus Christ the Lord. And when time is no more, guess what? He still is. I'm glad to know today who that baby in the manger is. I ask you today, do you know Him? Do you know who He is? There's no greater person on this earth and never will be to know than Him. Do you know Him? Realize who He is this morning and realize that a lot of times the things that this world says He is, He's not. This book tells us all the things that I read and more that this Lord and Savior is. And this is why we celebrate and have Christmas, because of who He is.